Har du noen gang opplevd livsforvandlende øyeblikk? Jeg heter Marianne, og jeg har intervjuet flere personer som har erfart at livet fikk en helt ny retning etter at de fikk et møte med Gud. Jeg bor i Oslo og jobber som familieveileder og coach. Jeg har alltid likt å høre folk sine historier, særlig hva som skaper de store og de gode endringene. Og i denne episoden her, så det Vibeke som skal fortelle sin
and
historie.
And in that second, just God's presence fell over me. I didn't understand what it was, but I could feel this shower of a presence that I had never felt before.
Ja, men du, nå sitter jo jeg her i Kansas City. På besøk, eller jeg bor faktisk i deres fantastiske leilighet, Vibeke. Jeg har jo hørt om deg, Vibeke Elisabeth, fra mange ulike hold.
Okay.
At du er en person som virkelig inspirerer mennesket til å gå ut i sitt kall og, ja, og tørre å ta steg mot drømmen og de visjonene Gud har gitt deg. Så det er jo bare helt fantastisk. Jeg er også en av de som virkelig har hatt ønsker å koble meg på. Mm-hmm. Men nå er jeg her, og nå måtte jeg benytte anledningen til å intervjue deg. I hvert fall om vendepunkt, men kanskje også senere om andre ting, om det å tørre å våge å ta steg mot drømmer og visjoner.
Ja. Velkommen til Kansas City. Takk, jeg er så glad for at du er her.
Ja.
Jeg fikk melding om at du skulle komme, og jeg bare, ok, she's kind of my friend.
Ja. Ja.
Så det er veldig gøy å ha deg her.
Ja, jeg var super. Det var ingen tvil i min sjel, men det var mulighet til å bo her.
Ja.
Og jeg har jo fått... Ja, du har jo tatt meg med på ulike aktiviteter allerede, og jeg føler allerede vi begynner å bli kjent, ja. Så det er veldig kjekt.
Og jeg har fått brunost fra Norge.
Ja, ja, ikke sant?
Aller viktigste.
En brunost som jeg aldri har sett før, en geit, eller en sånn blå brunost,
ja.
Visste ikke at det eksisterte.
Veldig godt.
Ja. Og så egentlig, grunnen til at jeg ville intervjue deg i Vendepunkt, det er fordi at du hadde en Facebook-update, jeg tror det er 2 år siden, eller 1 år siden,
mm-hmm.
der du delte bare om, litt om hvordan du ble kjent med Jesus,
ja.
Og litt om ja, hvor tøft eller utfordrende tid du hadde hatt før du møtte Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Ja.
Ja.
Så jeg har jo har faktisk tatt bilder av den Facebook-updaten.
Oh, ja. Så morsom det var, jeg må se den.
Ja, du må se den. Men før vi går inn på det, kunne du ikke bare sagt litt mer? Nå har jo jeg sagt at du bor i Kansas City, og at du hjelper folk å inspirere mennesker på mange ulike måter, men kanskje du sier litt sånn fakta om deg selv.
Hva jeg gjør egentlig nå.
Ja, egentlig hva du holder på med.
Ja.
Og egentlig hvem du er. Og...
Ja,
så... Og også om du har noen fun fact.
Ok. Fun fact. Jeg elsker kombucha da.
Ja, du spurte jo etter det når vi var på kafé.
Ja, jeg elsker kombucha. Og jeg bor her i Kansas City. Jeg har vært her i 9 år nå. One fun fact er at faktisk dette året så har jeg hjulpet å starte en ny marketplace-samling. I samme bygninger som jeg ble forelsket i mannen min.
Oi.
Ja.
Så det er virkelig noe med den stedet der, altså.
Ja, jeg vet ikke. Det var, bare, det var litt morsomt når vi fant ut av det.
Men det var fun fact.
Men jeg bor her i Kansas City, jeg har vært gift i 9 år, og så har jeg en sønn som er 7 år.
Mm.
Og vi elsker å bo i nærheten av hele bønnebevegelsen. Vi er involvert i mange forskjellige ting når det kommer til the marketplace.
Mm.
Ja, og businessmennesker. Og akkurat nå så har jeg et selskap som, det var før så var det et fullt markedsføringsselskap som jeg hjalp folk å lansere ut online og, oh my god, it's so hard to speak.
You can speak in English. We can change it.
Oh lord. Okay, yeah. Let me try this.
We can totally, because it's good for me to have it in English as well. Ja, så en fun fact er jo også at det er vanskelig, altså du er jo skikkelig god, du kan jo norsk helt flytende, men av og til så er det best for deg å snakke engelsk.
Ja,
så det er en fun fact. Det er en fun fact. Så dere lytter av, når Vibeke føler for å snakke engelsk, så blir det engelsk. Ja. Men alle kan engelsk, så det blir fint.
Ja, yeah, so I do run a marketing agency, and I've been doing that for many, many years. And I absolutely love it. One of the passion is to really help believers increase the way that they market their message. Because I was like, okay, we get all this inspiration from God, from heaven, the creator of everything, but then the marketing is just like really bad often. I don't say everything, but often it's really bad. Yeah. So it was a desire for me to help to like increase the marketing online, specifically online.
That's so good.
And then as the company grew, I couldn't handle any more clients. So then I actually started a coaching program because I couldn't handle more client, I wanted to give everyone a chance that feel that they have a God-given message. I want to write a book or a blog or a podcast or whatever it is. And then I just mentor them through like a coaching program. So I kind of run two companies now with the same focus to help people to share their message online, build their audience, and also align their purpose and their talent with what God is calling them to in each of the different seasons.
But you're also focusing a lot on dancing.
Yes.
And is that also like a company, or is that like something you do for a living, or is that kind of a side project? Or
so right now it's more like a fun thing that I do. Oh. So it changed. So before I was Christian, I was a professional dancer. And so I danced a lot. So I did make money off before. And then after I became Christian, I also opened a Christian dance school. So then I started to do a lot of, and I believe the same thing with marketing, with dance, just like why should, because I think, okay, so the backstory is like when I was 15 years old, I was dancing at the Norwegian Opera. And then I met some girls that were dancing in the street and they were doing evangelism. And just so a side note that, you know, when I was 15, I was probably not very humble or anything. So in my head, it's like, oh my God, they're really bad, like And they talked to me and approached me like, yeah, we danced for Jesus. And we got into this conversation. And I think because I didn't really, were really impressed with their, you know, technique and their level of dance. So the message about Jesus just didn't stick with me.
I understand.
So then later, but also I was 15, you know, so, you know, I wasn't. But later, when I became Christian myself, then I was like, when God called me to open a dance school, then I thought, if I open a dance school, I want to make sure that it's excellent dance. If you're going to use it as evangelism, if you just want to dance inside the church, I think everyone should dance and move their body. And it doesn't really need to be, you know, anything than just a worship to Jesus. But if you feel like I want to use it as a tool for evangelism, the same with marketing. I think it should be like have a certain level excellency over it to really attract people like, oh, they're really good. But also like, what's that presence of God? Like, what are they carrying? What's the light?
Yes.
You know, so those two things can go together to non-Christians.
Yeah, so that can mirror like God, the creator.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
But how did you grow up? You already mentioned that you were not always a Christian. Mm-hmm. And can you share a little bit before you come into your turning point?
Yeah.
Like when you met God, like how do you grow up and what was your view on God?
Yeah. So I didn't have, I didn't grow up in a Christian family at all. I was adopted from Korea when I was 3 months, came to Norway. I would say I had great parents, grew up in Risør, small town, everyone were kind to one another, like, yeah, it was a great, great family. My father was very much you should just always follow your dreams, your heart, anything you can do, you can do. And I think because of he's always cheering on me, and I was almost like, oh, like, you are the apple of my eye kind of father. When I did become saved, then I had that view of God, and it's still continued today. But I grew up as a normal teenager. Well, I don't know what's normal, but in my life, I was just partying a lot. And a fun fact, I did have my entrepreneurial journey, and I was young too, selling drugs.
Really?
Yes. Don't recommend to or anyone to do it, but yeah. So I just done a lot. I was partying a lot. I was selling drugs. You know, I was having a bunch of different boyfriends in and out, and just didn't even think so much about God, I think. Before kind of I was older, and I went into the, you know, professional dance world, and I start to really question.
Was when was the first point where you met like Christians? Was that the dancing girls when you were 15, or when did you start to talk with Christian people, or to?
I didn't have a lot of Christian people around me. I do remember that one of my teacher when I was, you know, younger, she was Christian. But I don't remember that I talked a lot about God, but I do remember that they were Christian and we were not. And I do remember that I saw a light in her eyes and thing that they were doing, helping, you know, children in Africa and things like that. So I do remember that I saw something, but it never kind of really stuck with me. And then I did have an experience, not experience, but then I met the girls that were dancing on the street when I was 15. Oh, yeah. And I think, okay, so I do remember now that another friend of mine, he actually got radically saved in the big church in Oslo up in north, Oslo Kirken. I don't remember what it's called. And then he was preaching to me. And then I went to church with him one time. And I, at that time, I was doing just partying and dancing and doing drugs. And but I don't remember that it really stuck with me either.
But you mentioned that it was like a time where it started to, you started to think more about it. So share about that time in your life.
Yeah, so when I was 19 year old, I went as a dancer down to Paris because that was my dream to dance there. And so I achieved that dream. I thought, I'm on the top of the world. I achieved all the dreams that you could ever imagine in life. Like I made it. And then I had different kind of jobs. And one of the job that I did get was at a TV station in Paris. So the producer like, oh, you're great, you can join the team. I joined the team, and then first Saturday he just called me out, hey, do you want to go out and take a drink? And I knew, like, in the industry of performing, there's a lot of just sex pressure, and you know, they are expected, like, to go out and have a drink. It's kind of to go out and go and sleep with me. So, and I had seen, you know, my friends do go down that road, and I just knew in my heart, even I just knew, I just didn't want to do it. So then he called the second week, and then he called the third week. And then I eventually, I mean, I was young, so it took a while for me to build up my courage to tell him no. And then I said, yeah, no, it it just will not happen that we will go out and have any drinks. So then the week after, then I had no jobs, nothing. And at that point, there had been so many, you know, sex pressures in the industry. So mm. at that time I was just, okay, I'm done. Mm. I cannot do this anymore. Mm. The joy of dance were gone. Mm. I didn't want to dance anymore. Like it was just all buried and I kind of almost lost my identity because mm. this is, was my dream. Mm. But then there was mm. zero joy. Mm. So then I started to think, I wonder if God exists. Hmm. Like, how does he exist? Where is he? Hmm. Like, because this life, I thought hmm. that I have achieved hmm. my dream. I was hmm. on top of the world. Yeah. And now I'm not. Hmm. So hmm. that's where I started to think seriously about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it more to it that happened than this meeting with this guy that wanted to use the connection for his benefit, or was it kind of coming to an end of the rope?
Yeah, I think it was like the end of the rope.
You kind of tried to fulfill the dream and go after really the happiness in this world.
Yeah.
And then you're just seeing this is not it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, it's just because of the industry, it is like a performance-based mm. industry, so much entertainment, and there's so much, you know, body and sex pressure. Because even I remember, like, I was at a school, and then one of the teacher, and he's, like, serious about it, thinking about it now, I'm like, what the heck? But then he came in, and he's like, yeah, I have a job. Like, mm. we need this many girls. It will just be like a short stripping show. Mm. And just like, who wants it? Mm. It's just like, what? Like, you tell your student that are like super young girls and you're the teacher. Wow. And it's just like the norm.
That was like the norm?
That was like the norm of the industry.
Oh my gosh.
So then I'm like,
what is this?
And I didn't even think about it. I just remember that at that time in Paris, I just like, okay, I had enough. Like my body couldn't handle all this thing anymore. Mm. And then if I said no, then I'm kind of not in the cool gang, you know. And so I was just done. So it was like at the end of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you remember anything? You said you didn't like think too much about it. You just were done. But how did it affect you, this kind of pressure or this kind of view on women or view on sex?
It just affected me to the point that when I got saved, I was like, okay, I don't want to be with any guys.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be a nun.
Hmm. you were totally done.
I was totally serious about it.
Yeah.
When I was newly saved, I was like, if, and I didn't really understand different callings, but I was like, if there are any callings and I can choose, I want to sit behind a chair, I want to pray for people, and I want to become a nun.
Yeah.
And that was like my new dream or whatever. I didn't really understand.
Totally in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I it was bad, like, because I lived in Oslo, and if I took the bus and a guy was sitting beside me and his knee would touch mine, I would just like look at him like with hate.
Yeah.
Like it was bad. Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
But okay, so you are at the end of the rope and you are really like understanding, I'm out of here. And the thought of God was coming up. Why do you think that you started to think about God?
I'm actually not sure. I think because when I was young, very, very young, in my street, so I did have some good experience with Christians. And they were actually having like söndagsskola in my street.
Mm-hmm.
So they welcomed everyone and they were really kind. And the light in their house was shining, their story, they did a lot for kids. So it's almost like from very young, I kind of had an awareness that he was there, but I didn't really understand the connection. It's more like he was there. And I think when I was young too, I had some experience like just talking to God, and I felt that he responded to me. But I just didn't know how to like live it out or pursue it, or so I didn't really talk with anyone. So I kind of had this awareness.
Yeah, I understand.
So then, yeah. So then when I start to think about it, it was like this awareness. I know he is someplace. So then...
So what did you do?
Well, because I was so done with that entertainment business. So it was more with like ballet, jazz, modern, and that industry. But I still loved movement of dance. I was walking in the streets of Oslo, and I had helped and been part of building up more this like Latin school just for fun, because that was no pressure. It was just fun dancing. Anyway, I knew someone that were going to church, and I just asked them if I could go with them, because my thought was, well, if God exists, he must be in a church. That's where you find God. So it was just logical for me. So then I went into the church. It was a Hispanic church in Oslo. And I came in, and then I think my heart had been hungry for so many years. And when I look back, I can just see these different glimpses of kind of trying to pursue me. And then it was Hispanic worship. They were singing and dancing, and they were lifting their hands. So I basically just lifted my hands just tiny, tiny bit, because that's what they're doing. So I'm like, I'm doing the same. And in that second, this God's presence fell over me. I didn't understand what it was, but I could feel this shower of a presence that I have never felt before over me. I felt a wind come right through in front of me, through my heart. And then I heard a very loud voice saying, this is your home, this is where you belong. And I turned around, and there were no one there.
Wow.
And I'm like, what is this? And then two things happened at the same time, because the Bible would say that he pulled our veil in front of our eyes, or off our eyes. And so I had this experience, and in the same time, my head was thinking, talking about battle of your mind, my head were thinking, these people are crazy, I will never be like them, what the heck is going on here? But then inside my heart, I knew that this is the truth about the love that I've been seeking, the truth that I've been seeking, everything that I've been seeking. So from that moment, I was just, it was like a radical experience from night to day, like radical.
That's really huge.
I went out and I felt that I was flying for like a month. I was like, oh my God, this whole new world opened. God is amazing. I'm going to be a nun. And I was this, everyone that I met on the bus is like, do you know about God?
Wow.
It's heaven or hell. You could either choose heaven or you could choose hell. I was this, not a good preacher at all. But for the first like 6 months, I was just in a glory that it was, my friends were like, what happened, you know?
Yeah, how did they respond?
Well, they were just very curious. They were like, are you like, cuckoo? you know?
Yeah.
Seeing me doing all these different things. And my family too, until they actually realized that this is for a long term. And like my salvation were amazing, but leading my first friend, Mari Dahle Aarseth, she's the first girl that I led to salvation, and I was flying like crazy that night too. Like my own salvation was great, but leading her to salvation was like, oh my God. And I had never led anyone to salvation, so I didn't know how to do it. So she actually she traveled around and shared her story, how she, you should actually interview her.
I want to do
how
that.
She was on the edge to like suicide. And then, but then I have told her, we have to like bow our knees, mm. and then we have to pray to Jesus and repent.
Yeah.
And it's funny when she said yes, mm. like something switched in her eyes.
Wow.
Because she was in this occult.
Ah, I understand.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I was so happy. That was even better than my own salvation.
Oh, wow.
So.
That was amazing.
Yeah. So since that, both of us have been radically saved.
That's amazing.
And we still have contact and pray together. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So how did things unfold after this turning point in your life, your new life with Jesus? How was life?
Well, there were so many things that unfold. Like, it was, first of all, family and friends, like, preaching to everyone and sharing with everyone, and everyone thought I was crazy, which probably I wasn't very mature in the way that I communicated thing. But I also felt the favor of God unfold. Like, I get huge promotion. I started to like make a lot of money. I was making good money before, but I was like even more to a whole other level. I just saw the favor of God, and I could see how, when I look back now, I can see the things that he did early in my when I was a baby Christian, how that led to the journey that I'm living out now. The different things that I did, you know, running, be a manager at a restaurant, handling people, opening a dance school, just a different network that he led me to was...
So you could recognize that he was leading you.
Yeah.
Do you have some examples to share about like how he led you?
Well...
How do you know like it was God that was leading you? Like, do you have any testimonies about...
So for example, I felt the leading me with the dance school, what I saw was a clear leading from God. I started to get dreams, a vision about building an educational center, having restaurant, training people, having worship dance and all these different things. And then I had dreams about gathering people actually in, I think the picture was from Oslo Spektrum, but I don't know if it's like literally Oslo Spektrum, about bringing unity to the body of Christ. And then I heard this voice saying, like, if you open the dance school, through the dance school.
So you heard the voice.
I heard the voice. Through the dance school, if you open it, then you will get the connection that you need that will be the foundation for the center. That's so amazing. I'm like, okay, it will happen tomorrow. So I actually called down to like Oslo Spektrum, like, hey, how much does it cost to rent your place? Like, you know, newly said, like, didn't know anyone. And just like, yeah. Okay, so I have to share this. So after I was radically saved and finally he pursued my heart, like, God is very gentle. So you're pursuing my heart to open a dance school. And it took a while for me to do it. It took 4 years because I didn't really understand, you know, the voice of God or anything. But then he showed me a picture one day in prayer and he said, if you dance, all these men and women and children will be set free. They will be delivered and I will come with my presence, which he did. He did do, like, I look back now and every single class he came. But what happened is that I eventually did open a dance school. And after 2 years, I had two different dance schools. So one in Oslo, one in Drammen. And what happened is that I ended up with the dance school in different TV station, Christian TV station. So I feel that it's almost like a redemption, like being thrown up in Paris because I didn't want to sleep with the producer and then started to with a dance school and danced for Visjon Norge, Kanal T. And I think we also traveled to a station with Mikkel one time to Iceland or something. So just the redemption of the dance and movement, that I'm just like, that was, could only be God, because I did not see that coming at all. I think I sat down with a couple in Drammen, and I was there for a whole other reason. I don't even remember why. And then she just like put on the table, just like, yeah, so I'm doing this New Year's celebration at Vision Norway. And the only thing that I've been struggling for months to find is just someone to dance. Do you know anyone? And I'm like, well, I do run a Christian dance school. Wow. Would that work? Wow. And she's like, what? So, I mean, we are still friends, and it's just an amazing story. So, I also feel it's just a huge redemption, because I did not seek it out, but just following God's plan, then He promotes you. And then ended up dancing many, many times at the TV stations.
That's amazing. And how do you feel like God is using dance?
Oh, so I think dance is a language that we can't express with words. Because often we're like, oh, are you sad? Okay, I will pray for you. But then we have all these set emotions that we use in words, and what also communication, like etiquette. But when we dance, we can actually express emotion that we can't even explain, or even we don't know what's there. But one thing I do know, because I've been working with a lot of, you know, healing and trauma, is that our body can never lie. So everything positive and negative, it sits in our body. So even if I pray for you, there are memories and things, there are little traumas and big traumas that sit in our body. When we move with movement and use our body, there's come a whole other level of healing, or like, I don't want to say level, because there's no level in healing, but it does come in form of healing, you know.
That's okay.
And I have seen healing every single dance class.
Wow.
I had abused women that come to my dance class just to get healing and dance out their emotions.
That's
so huge. I feel that is a huge expression to be used in the body of Christ.
Really? Totally.
More than just singing. And I think all of them, I love it when you have the worship team and you have dancers and you have painting as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so good. So thank you so much for sharing your story and how God really helped you down on how you met God and was open to receive Him. It's just so amazing and encouraging to hear. And do you have any like things you want to say to people that was kind of in your position and when you were 19 years old and you feel like you are in the end of the rope? And, you know, do you have anything you want to share to them if they can recognize your story? And they are starting to, what about God? You know?
Yeah. I mean, if they are at a point, or if you are at a point where you feel you are at the end of your road and you are wondering if God exists, and if you are wondering if you know what you have done, because I lived a, you know, what people would call a very, very sinful life, I would just say, you know, find someone that you know are Christian and just pray with them and take one step at a time. You don't even need to think about, you know, what will happen, what will people think. And just find someone that you trust, that you know that is a good friend or mentor. And if they know God, just ask them how to walk with God. And also remember that there's no one way of walking with God, because there are many different churches, many different expressions, many different denominations. But just your personal relationship with Him is the most important thing.
And I figured out, sorry, I forgot you to ask you one thing. You told, you shared you want to be a nun, but today you have a family and...
Yeah.
How did that happen?
So clearly he actually did lead me into this. Because I was like, okay, I'm just going to be a nun. And I didn't know how that would look like, but I was just set on that in my heart. Mm. And then at one point, he started to lead me into a season of just more healing. Mm. And he said, I'm going to lead you into a season of finding you a husband. Mm. So I was like, we will see about that. But, you know, how you have this conversation and you are telling God things.
Yeah.
And then I do not recommend this for everyone. So because of my relationship with men and because the way that I looked at them, I really struggled with, because I always thought, okay, they all want just, you know, to jump in bed and that's all they want. Mm. I actually started to practice at the moment where I actively said, like, just agreed and with what God have told me, I was like, okay, so if this is going to happen, I need to practice to be with men. Mm-hmm. So I just started to go on a bunch of dates with men to practice to not just hate them. Mm. And at one point, of course, that's not the best thing because I wasn't really interested in them. I was just practicing for my own. Mm. So I did that for a few months until I'm like, okay, I need to stop with this. This is not the way to go. But it did have some, on a practical level, it did have some healing in that. And then I flew on a business trip to Kansas City and then I met my husband.
Yeah. Wow.
And then we prayed a lot together. Mm. We were ministering to kids that were abused. We both had the same heart for, you know, the orphans. And we fell in love. And I remember we prayed and I just remember I saw purity over him. Mm. So I'm like, oh my God, this is new. Like, this is... So I was very attracted to him of his purity and how he stayed pure his whole life till he was going to be married.
That's so good.
Mm. So that's how we met. Yeah.
So nice. So maybe in the end you can just pray a little prayer over like the listener to pray over if there is someone that is in the position that you shared about, you know, that is seeking out God but don't know how.
Yeah. Mm. So Lord, I thank you for each person that have been listening to this interview and this talk with us here from Kansas City, Lord Jesus. I pray that your presence will come over them right now. I pray that you will pierce into their heart as you did with me and just show them your love, show them your mercy, show them your truth and how they are your beloved and how they are the apple of your eye, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you'll just capture them with love and just shower healing rain upon them, Lord Jesus, and that they are always welcome into your arms, Lord. So just pray that you will capture their heart and bring them into your kingdom. And I bless each person that desire to walk with you, or even people that have fallen away from you, and to come back into your kingdom and walk with you, and even people that have been hurt by the church, that they will reconnect and ignite their love in their heart together with you, Jesus. Because we live a Christian life with the purpose of just one audience, and that is you, Lord. So just bless each person to walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. And if we have time, we will also talk more about the other stuff you are working with, because my other podcast, Full Potential, it's all about like going after the dreams, visions, and going after healthy relationships.
Yeah.
So I believe you have a lot to give there.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing this. Yeah. It's very good.
So good. Okay. And also the week after the podcast, I have a live sending on my Facebook page. I have like a page a group with for people.
Okay.
So because normally people have questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you can do that.
Yeah. We'll do that. Great. We'll schedule that.
We schedule that.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Nå hørte du Vibeke dele sin historie. Hun erfarte å gå fra et liv der hun søkte lykken i suksess og framgang til å finne mening og hensikt i å følge Jesus. Likte du episoden? Del den gjerne på Facebook eller på Instagram. Og hvis du har spørsmål til episoden, bli medlem i Facebook-gruppa Vendepunkt. Der pleier det som regel å være livesending med oppfølgingsintervju. Send spørsmål til meg på Instagram-konto vendepunkt_podcast. Vil du sjekke mer ut om Gud? Da anbefaler jeg nettkurset Velkommen hjem med Egil Svartdal. Det finner du på omgud.net.